You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You as we go over this week's drone news. With me today, as always, is the Drone DJ founder, the guy who has been spinning news and getting the right rumors out for a long time. Welcome, Mr. Hyatt Costello. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you, Paul. Very good today. How are you doing?
Doing great, doing great. For those who missed last week's news show, you were out enjoying the Adirondack Mountains, is that right?
Yeah, we were actually out camping on a remote island, somewhere totally deserted, which was actually quite the experience. We took a seaplane that dropped us out there, and it was pretty awesome, I have to say.
That sounds way awesome. That sounds like a drone adventure I'm down for.
Oh, yeah. I got some footage and some photos that I'll share with you later. It was pretty sick.
That is incredible. Well, let's go ahead and move into this week's drone news. And our first story this week goes back to responsibility in leadership. Whenever you have city council members or leaders, you expect them to know the law before they make new laws. Now, as many of you know in political theory, this is a common problem in the United States as we constantly try to adapt and change law instead of just fully replacing it. But in this first week of drone news, it looks like one particular city council in Kansas has forgotten to do their research again. Haya, what do you have?
Yeah, this takes us back to Prairie Village in Kansas, a story that we first reported on late in August. And back then they were working on the ordinance, and now it seems that it actually has passed. So if you fly a drone recreationally and you don't follow their rules, you can be charged as a Class C misdemeanor, punishable up to 1 month in jail and a $500 fine, which is pretty outrageous. And actually, they say that the Federal Aviation Administration regulates commercial drone flights, but the ordinance only covers the recreational flights, which supposedly are not governed by the FAA. And I think this is one part where they totally get it wrong. Of course, the FAA does regulate recreational drone flights as well. And if you remember, it wasn't too long ago that the FAA actually issued a statement saying that state and local governments are not permitted to regulate any type of aircraft operations, such as flight paths or altitudes or the navigable airspace. So there's only one agency that regulates airspace, it's the FAA, and towns, of course, they can set rules as to where you can take off and where you can land your drone, but not where you fly your drone. And it's going to be interesting to see if this is going to survive its first court case, if it ever comes to that point. I doubt it. I mean, I think we all remember the case of Singer versus the city of Newton in Massachusetts, where the judge overruled it and said that all these local ordinances are preempted by federal law. So it's interesting to see that you have all these little pockets throughout the country where towns try to set up their own rules, but we have federal rules already in place to deal with this, and that should be sufficient, I think.
It should be sufficient. It's actually really interesting. Like you said, the Singer versus City of Newton case in Massachusetts really set the federal precedent that, you know, local cities, towns, counties, they cannot regulate the navigable airspace, nor can they create, a registration system or anything, which is exactly what the North Carolina Department of Transportation did, which I found it so funny that DJI was promoting NCDOT so much when, you know, they kind of break a lot of the preemption memorandum rules as well. You mentioned something really important here, Haya, which you said the first time that this gets challenged, the chances of it actually being enforced are probably zero, because there is, like I said, there is a precedent in federal court. Number two, it's very clear who has the authority over the airspace. It's unfortunate, though, that we didn't have some drone pilots in this area try to reach out and create a relationship with these city councilors, because it's so important in order to fight these rules that literally can't exist. And I mean, they can't exist based off of current law and regulations. But it's interesting because if we had someone building a relationship there and helping educate these people, you know, this is kind of the responsibility that we talk about here at DroneU and inside the community, that in order to ensure that we have the rights to fly and maintain those rights to fly, we have to be advocates for this industry. Yeah. And that's actually, like, you know, why we created the Drone Advocacy Kit, which you can get at droneadvocacykit.com. It has all those documents in there, everything that a local ordinance or local city council needs to know. So where do you think that this is going to end, Haya? Do you think it'll be challenged, or do you think the police may not enforce it? Because that's what we've seen in a lot of other places.
I think it's probably going to stay this way until you get the first court case. But even if that happens, it's going to get thrown out, I would expect. But also, it's probably never going to make it to court, because how are you going to prove these things anyway? Like, how are you going to prove that somebody was flying a drone over somebody else's property? I mean, you'd have to be right there and witness it in order to make that case. So I think getting it to court is going to be a challenge in itself, having the actual proof and evidence to support your case. And then even if you make it to court, it's going to get thrown out anyway. So I don't even know why these towns bother. Also, a lot of these concerns have to do with privacy and peeping Toms. We already have laws to deal with that as well. And they have nothing to do with drones. It's geared towards the use of cameras. So I think this is a lot ado about nothing, really. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go anywhere either. Although I think it would be nice to reach out to the city attorney, Mr. David Waters, and send him the drone pilot or the drone advocacy kit and just say, are you aware of these points? And are you aware that the city of Newton tried doing the same thing and got shut down? Do you want this hanging over your head on your career? ? Maybe it'll be a good time to have him on the show. That'd be a great interview.
That'd be nice. Let's do an interview with those guys.
Yeah. Well, moving on to this next piece of news this week. It looks like a 90-year-old Marquette woman is still going to see another day, Haya, thanks to drones. What happened here?
Yeah, Marquette County, Wisconsin, a 90-year-old lady who suffers from dementia was reported missing, and the police used a drone. We don't have solid information on the kind of drone, but it's likely to be a DJI Mavic Enterprise Duel. It was outfitted with a FLIR thermal imaging camera, and the drone actually found the lady. Now, we don't have a lot of information on exactly how this happened and under what kind of circumstances, but of course, we're happy to report that a drone helped again in potentially saving somebody's life, or at least bringing her back to safety. And we've seen numerous cases that are similar to this one's. And yeah, it's just another great story about how drones can help and improve people's lives.
So you said this was a Mavic 2 Enterprise Duel that helped save this woman's life?
That's what I think it is. I mean, we don't have any concrete information on that, but it seems most likely that that will be the drone that they would have used.
Wow. I just love the fact that drones are doing a lot of good. And it's amazing. You know, it just goes to show, Haya, that drones are a tool. You can use them for good or you can use them for bad. Or in our next story, you can use them for a jackass-like entertainment, as well as one Aussie man decides that he wants to go fishing from a new perspective. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's kind of a cool story, actually. It made its rounds on Facebook, probably started about a week ago already. A group of people in Australia had put their own drone together, and they had quite some challenging trial flights to get this drone to operate properly. But in the end, they pulled it off, and then they proceeded to mount a chair underneath the drone and get one of their buddies, Sam Foreman is his name, to actually sit in the chair, be airlifted by the drone over a local reservoir, and bring with him a beer and a fishing rod to go fishing. And the video is actually quite outrageous, because it seems that he actually caught a fish as well. I mean, we don't quite know if this was a setup thing, but at some point in the video, you see him actually catching a fish, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Of course, what seems to always happen is as soon as you put the word drone in some crazy jackass type story like this, everybody's all over it. And this case is no different. The Australian Civil Aviation Safety Authority, CASA, has started investigating this this story. Now, it's unclear if any rules were broken. However, a spokesperson for the authority said that it's really not a sensible thing to do in any way, shape or form. There's a lot of things that could have gone wrong. Well, of course, I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with any kind of stunt that you pull. Doesn't necessarily have to involve a drone. I thought it was a pretty creative story. It was uploaded to Facebook by a drone reseller, and they were probably looking to get their name out there, which I think they did a pretty good job in doing, because this was all over all social media last week. So a funny story. I mean, yeah, you got to be careful with what you do with drones, but I don't think any rules were broken necessarily in this case.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like you said, there were things that were done on Jackass and other entertainment avenues long before this that are just as dangerous but had zero reaction. So it will be interesting to see if anything comes of it. But I think this is honestly a really cool, creative way to, you know, really to have fun with drones. And Haya, let's be real. In the future, drones are going to be carrying packages. They're going to be carrying people. Yeah. It's the next industrial revolution. So for CASA to just kind of come down and say, we're investigating this, obviously they want to understand what's going on. But I think it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, because in the future, things like this are going to happen all the time. So I think it's kind of funny. And, you know, it's a nice lighthearted story to go over.
Totally agree.
Well, in this piece of next news, this is actually the fire in the community right now. If you've been on Facebook inside any of the drone communities or any of the drone groups, excuse me, then you know that the tariff issue has been quite the hot topic. Whether you're on the commercial side or the recreational side, the higher prices are really affecting everyone. How it affect the industry, though, well, that's still up in the air. Haya, what do you have?
Yeah, earlier this week we noticed that DJI had changed a number of their prices on their website, and this affects, for instance, the DJI Mavic Air, but also the DJI Mavic 2 Pro and Zoom models, and the prices were raised roughly by 15%. They rounded up to nice numbers, but these drones, I mean, the Mavic 2 Pro already has been through one price hike about a little more than a year ago, if I recall correctly. Now on top of that, they put another 15%, so you're looking at a drone it's now going to cost well over $1,700 if you factor in sales tax and maybe some accessories that you need. And that brings us to the next thing, is that DJI didn't stop at raising prices for drones. They actually raised prices for batteries, for instance, as well, but also the care refresh packages. So everything has been jumped up by about 15%. One positive, though, in this story, I guess, is that the batteries, at least for the Phantom 4, are now available again on the DJI website, albeit at a significantly higher price. So these tariffs are having their impact also on products like drones and drone accessories. One thing I like to point out is that Apple is in a similar position where a lot of their products are being affected by these tariffs as well. However, Apple has decided to absorb most, if not all, of these price hikes rather than passing them on to consumers. And that's the big debate that you were alluding to earlier, is that a lot of people think that, hey, shouldn't DJI also absorb these price hikes rather than passing it on to the consumers? We're not quite sure why they didn't. I mean, one reason perhaps is that they don't really have any serious competition, so they can easily pass on these price hikes to consumers. Because if you need a Mavic, you're still going to buy the Mavic, I guess, even if the price is higher, because there really isn't an alternative drone that you could go to. So maybe that's why DJI gets away with this. I wish there was more competition and that they wouldn't simply pass on these price increases to consumers.
Well, maybe the difference in reaction from DJI and Apple is a difference in ideological perspective, because you have an American company making things in China versus a Chinese company making things in China. But you really bring up a good point here, Haya, because, you know, 15% really isn't much. And, you know, I just ask the same question of whether it's an ideological perspective of like a Chinese nationalism versus American nationalism. Either way, I don't think that's a good thing because, you know, we really are in a global economy. Now, with that being said, you bring up a couple other really good points here. You know, the fact that a lot of these drones, too, are out of stock, but yet they got price increases as well. I found that interesting. But also on the P4 Pro battery, just really quick, I want to like switch track on this really fast. If a lot of people are aware, a couple weeks ago, the price of the Phantom 4 batteries was kind of on a roller coaster ride because they were out of stock, and then they were in stock, and then they were back out of stock, and now there's a tariff increase. So it's kind of gone from $199 to $169 back up to $200. So it's kind of been like a roller coaster, Haya, something that at least like, you know, I have noticed. But my question to you is, how do you think this is going to affect the market as a whole? And then what do you think that effect will be on recreational pilots? And what do you think that effect will be on the commercial market?
Let's start with the commercial market. I mean, for most commercial drone pilots, they will either look at the purchase of a drone as either an investment, which they can depreciate, or they might even see it as an expense, I guess, and just write it off right away. And also, they make money with those drones. So a drone might be 15% more expensive, but to them, it doesn't hit them as hard as it would hit a consumer. And also, they're using these drones to make money, so they can pass on some of those additional expenses to their customers. So for the commercial drone markets, of course, it would be better if drones are less expensive, but I don't think those people will be affected as much. I think where you're going to feel this mostly is on the consumer side of things. Consumer drone market already is a lot softer than it was, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago. So we're already feeling the pain there. If you now raise prices by 15%, yeah, you're going to slow down consumer sales significantly. I mean, those guys have to pay it out of their pockets. They are not making money with their drones, presumably. So there's just for them, there's no way to go. I think it's going to hurt them the most.
So very interesting synopsis, because you're saying the market as a whole will probably have less sales, but maybe that will help the commercial pilot as less recreational pilots are around trying to do nefarious things. It also makes me wonder if maybe they just raise the price in the United States because everywhere else those tariffs don't exist. And we do know that countries like India and Malaysia and China are much bigger customers to DJI than the United States ever has been. But my next question, Haya, is do you think that this further opens the door for an American manufacturer to come in and kind of swoop up these sales? And then I have one more question, because I'm wondering if these price increases are also kind of setting up the future for the Mavic Mini.
Good questions. Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about starting an American drone company, you could argue that right now would be the ideal time to launch a product. I mean, of course, it would take time to develop both the hardware and the software, so you're not just going to catch up with a company like DJI. But in terms of the other competitive factors like pricing and the tariffs, yeah, right now would be an ideal time to launch an American-made drone.
Well, it just seems like the odds are ever getting stacked in Americans' favor right now. But I know the tariffs are really, really causing a lot of strife and a lot of anger and arguments all over the internet. And it's interesting to see all the differing opinions because we really don't know the effect that this is going to have. Because I think the macro effect of these tariffs is that I think our president is trying to put America in a more powerful economic position because, well, for a long time, there's been a huge divide. Now, whether it works or not is another story. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening, Haya.
Yeah. Can we go back quickly to the Phantom 4 and those batteries and the drone itself as well? I don't know if you noticed, but on DJI's website, if you now look for the Phantom series, you get this message that these drones are no longer available in your region or country, meaning the US. So even though the batteries are available now at higher prices, if you want to buy one of these drones, they're not available anymore, which is a significant change because previously those drones were still listed on the DJI website, although they were out of stock. Now they've been completely removed from the official DJI store. However, our information is that this drone is still going to make a return in September. So it's going to be very interesting to see if and when this drone returns.
Well, we also know that for some select dealers, the drone has already returned. I mean, you know that I'm buying Phantoms as much as I can because I think they're one of the most valuable drones for the money, and I think other people are figuring that out as well. So I know the dealers have them, the site may not have them, but again, I'm happy to see that the Phantom coming back. And I think it just goes to show that, you know, DJI really needs to consider the commercial market and not just have, you know, quote unquote enterprise drones, because, you know, we've seen so many reliability issues with those enterprise drones. And the Phantom, it's hard to really crack that code because the Phantom has been in development since 2011. People don't remember that. You know, it was the F450 and then it was the Phantom 1. And gosh, I remember having to learn to fly in attitude mode just to get smooth motion because there were no gimbals yet. You know, so I mean, like, it's just funny how history has a way of dictating the future. Now, with that said, it also goes to show, Haya, that other drone manufacturers are quickly stepping up to the plate and they continue to tease us. What do you have?
Yeah. Skydio. Skydio 2 is the name we go with for now for this new drone, although we don't think that's going to be the ultimate name once they release this product. But they've been teasing us with videos. And first we saw the video of the people on motorbikes and mountain bikes going through forests and kind of showing off the unique capability of the autonomously flying Skydio drone. In this latest teaser video, we see the drone flying backwards at quite a high speed and also avoiding all kinds of obstacles as it's flying through some garage or workshop environment. And it's pretty amazing footage. We know from that shadow that was visible in the first video that this new drone from Skydio is not going to have that metal frame around it like the original had. So it's going to be a different design. We don't know if it's foldable or not. I mean, that will be really nice, I guess. I'm not sure if it will be, but it has a different design. But I think the most significant change is going to be the way it flies. I mean, it seems that Skydio has stepped it up yet again and that this drone is going to provide both better quality video footage and it's going to have much improved autonomous flying skills based on what we see in this video. They're going to likely launch this drone in October. And yeah, we're very excited about this drone. They already said it's going to be lighter, smaller, and competitive with the Mavic 2 Pro. So we should also get a much more friendly price point than we had with the original Skydio R1. Yeah, like I said, we're excited and we can't wait for them to launch this American-made drone soon, please.
Yeah, we're really excited. And as we talk about the rumor mill and what's going on, it seems like FreeFly has something up its sleeve as well. So, you know, now you have FreeFly, now you have Skydio, you know, Parrot says they're coming out with an enterprise-grade drone as well. We're excited for that. That's three manufacturers who see the door opening and they are ready to step through it. They just want to make sure that when they do step through it, they can jump through it so that no one can catch them, if you know what I'm saying.
Totally agree. And we can't wait. I mean, the drone market can for sure use some competition. So to get some new drones out there, especially ones that might actually outperform DJI drones in certain aspects, would be very, very interesting and very welcome for sure.
Couldn't agree more. Well, Haya, thanks for joining us for this week's drone news. There's a lot really going on and excited to have you on the show again, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, Paul, and looking forward to next week's show.
Yes, I am as well. Well, thank you, Haya, and thank you everyone who watches the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe, whether you're watching on YouTube, on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you're listening to the show, please don't forget to leave us a review. Let us know what you think, and we really appreciate it. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week's news show. Thanks again for joining us for another episode of Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sound have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.